to fit in half an hour a retreat experience. Generally, a retreat experience is where you retreat. You go to a secluded place for some time and detox and detach and go within and experience another dimension, depending on the discipline that you're looking at and pursuing. We don't have that facility, you have half an hour. So what I'm going to do is try to supply you with some tools that you can use in your everyday life as students. Busy, 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 especially sometimes more than others. And take an inner retreat to a very nice space. I like this space. Partha told me it's very nice, and I thought, oh, university campus. But it's a nice space, sacred space. And the mantra meditation is an important part of bhakti, that sacred sound in a sacred space goes well together. And by opening to that sacred sound, there's another experience, another, the Vedas. I'm going to refer to the Vedas, which means very ancient teachings from India, written in Sanskrit 5,000 years ago. So when I say Vedas, it's a soundbite. It means ancient wisdom, teaching, elevation of consciousness, or more accurately, restoring consciousness to our original pure state of spiritual consciousness. Getting in touch with the true self, the eternal, unchanging, not based on circumstances and time, culture and country and all those things, limited things, but the original consciousness of the self. The mantra, say two or three things. Mantra literally means mind releasing. Man refers to mind, and tra comes from the Sanskrit word triyate, or to release. So the mind is holding on to something, material conceptions. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita which describes specifically that. Just as air carries aromas, you know, in 8th grade science class, air is colorless, odorless, tasteless, and all those things. But you're downwind from a garbage dump and it stinks because the air is carrying aroma. Or downwind from an ocean breeze, it's very, smells different, very fresh. As air carries aroma, the mind carries different conceptions of life. And because of material contact and simultaneously forgetfulness of our higher state of consciousness, we're carrying material conceptions. So mantra on one side means to release the mind and that from material conceptions, thus allowing, in an open state of consciousness, a spiritual conception, not to be imported, but to be awakened. It's dormant within. There's so many statements in the ancient Vedas that describe, but I'm going to have to keep everything really compact here. Eternal knowledge is something that's already within, and that's what the term enlightenment means. It's already there and it just awakens. Something like a match that can sit in a matchbox for however long, and it's dormant. Take the match out, run it across the striker, and whoosh, the stored fire comes out. Similarly, mantra aside from releasing one's self from material conceptions, the original spiritual conception of reality with a capital R, it's already there, and it awakens through sound, sacred sound. Another reference is that it's not just the action of a match against a striker, an object against another object, friction, but it's sacred sound or mantra is of the same quality, spiritual quality, as our original consciousness. The ancient teachings of the Vedas describe before this place existed, the cosmos, there was sound. The Bible teaches similarly. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And then there was stuff. And we're very much involved with stuff and not so much involved with what existed before stuff existed. We're very involved in fruitive activities in the language of Bhagavad Gita, karma. Working very hard to get something and then trying to enjoy that something, and it doesn't work exactly as our plan, so we adjust indefinitely, birth after birth. To let go of that material conception of what happiness is and look within, meditation is part of what that is. There are different techniques, but it's slow down the stuff and in that quiet space, reflect. Reflect is a term that's compatible with or symptomatic of the quality of goodness, as opposed to reactive, being reflective. And in that reflective, inward-looking space, what's there? Another thing with mantra is when you look inside without purified consciousness, you see all kinds of things. You see thoughts, feelings, attachments, hankering, lamentation, and stuff that's not of the moment. It's stuff of all the temporary. So another thing that mantra does is, the Sanskrit language says, cheto darpana marjanam. It cleanses the mirror of the mind. So there goes 10 minutes. Something that I'd like to do with all of you is, and it's the musical, it's part of every culture of the world, is that there's some music, and music is not just the notes, it communicates something and experiences something and conveys something and shares something. In the quiet of your home, the place where you stay every evening, there's something that you can do just on your own, something that I've been doing for a number of years together, and it's very, very effective. It's mantra meditation called Japa, J-A-P-A, and I'm going to see if you can pass out beads so we can have some little... Is that enough? Japa session. So, as we did musically, you can do it just on your own. I invite you to do. Once upon a time, somebody made a similar invitation to me, and my life changed significantly. It doesn't mean that you have to become a monk. It means that you get in touch with spiritual reality. And according to your inclination, you lead your life with spiritual reality awakened in your day-to-day, whatever you do, activity. Part of the purpose of using beads like this is it helps concentration. You're using tactile sense together with auditory and your tongue, combining three senses together into the same activity. But the focus goes not to what's happening with your hands, the focus goes to the sound. but it helps keep the mind focused that has a tendency to wander. And when you will take, we'll do this little experiment, and as we're vibrating the sound together, watch what happens with your mind. So many things. Things that you need to do, things that you didn't do. Things, so many things come to the mind. So when that happens, as that happens, try to focus on the sound vibration. Any process of meditation involves, we did this just yesterday at Tufts. There was fewer people, so we don't have time this evening, but just went around the room and persons that had previously done some type of meditation. They were all different, but there were some things in common, and quiet the mind and fix the mind on something. Sometimes it's following breaths. Sometimes it's different technique. But the principle is similar, releasing the mind from stuff and bringing the mind to a quiet place. And sound vibration, two of the people yesterday said, wow, sound vibration really helps. And so best when chanting that's audible. One of the persons I had a similar discussion with at Northwestern last Friday was on the swimming team, a woman, girl that, 2 hours a day she does laps. A lot of discipline. And she didn't chant audibly, I'm sure, when she was swimming. But she described like this, a lot of sport, the sport that I'm involved with at least, is the orientation of the mind is very important, because at a certain point the physical discipline gets to a point where the body is in a lot of pain, and then the mind is reading the pain, screaming, and you have to keep going. You have to get beyond the pain and not break down. But so she said, one day this week I decided when I get to that point I'm just going to chant and see what happens, because she had been coming to little gatherings like this and chanting. And then she described what happened. She said, first thing that happened was my mind became peaceful. The next thing that happened was the pain of my body subsided. And the next thing that happened was a big burst of energy. And I felt light. And I said, wow, what happened then? She says, I started trying to be an enjoyer of that nice experience, and I lost the experience. But I could appreciate it. I've been swimming for years and years. I'm very dedicated to this sport. And I've never experienced anything like that. So it applies to your everyday life, whatever you are. All you have to do is be a spirit soul, and it works. And we're all spirit souls. And we have different ways that we express ourselves because of our nature, psychophysical nature. But if the seat of consciousness is connected to that original spiritual centeredness, connecting with the supreme consciousness, it's a whole other experience of life. It's a whole other experience. So, through sound vibration, the whole of the Vedic wisdom is based on sound, primordial sound. Before this thing existed, that existed. So it's connecting, yoga means linking, with that supreme. And it's done through sound. So we'll go through the mantra chanting using beads, and we'll chant together. I'll just show you very simply how you hold the beads, really elementary. Your thumb and forefinger, these two, hold the bead. The next, there's a head bead, one that's got a little doodad on the end of it. And just move the bead gently back and forth, for purpose of tactile contact, and we'll say the mantra together, and when we finish the mantra, we go on to the next beat. Very simple. And we'll see how, maybe half a time around, there's, take 5-6 minutes. Because we'll chant slowly. And when we're chanting, the most important thing is the sound vibration. So if the mind wanders, bring it back to the sound vibration. And sometimes it's some amount of time passes before you even realize the mind is wandering. But whenever you realize the mind is wandering, the exercise is bring it back to the sound vibration. And one other little pointer, one mantra at a time. Don't worry about the ones you didn't do so nicely before, or what you got to do when you leave here and take care of this, that, and the other thing. Just stay with that mantra that you're chanting, and then you chant the next mantra, and then you chant the next mantra. Because you can't chant anyone but the one you're chanting right at the moment. Very simple. Be in the moment, in other words, with the sound of the mantra. So are you ready? Right hand on the beats. And we'll just go for a few minutes, see how it goes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay. We have 12 minutes left. It's difficult, it's just challenging to try to create an experience in a short time. How many of you have already experienced some form of meditation, either on an occasional basis or regular? Oh, wow. Okay, fantastic. A note of encouragement. Along with whatever it is that you do every day, I invite you to add 10 minutes, more or less, 5 minutes, 15 minutes of this mantra chanting on a daily basis for a 2-week period, and continue what you're doing, but add this and just see what happens, see what you experience. You might want to continue it for a long time. In the Bhagavad Gita, side by side with this process that's meant to cleanse the heart and open the heart, there are books of wisdom, some of them are over here, including Bhagavad Gita, that help guide the activities of your life. One of the simple ways of saying what that guidance is use my hands here, you frame your life in the quality of goodness. You put the original consciousness of the soul right in the center, and that's the objective, is to awaken that original consciousness. And the other activities that you do, your work, your eating, recreation, knowledge, etc., they're discussed in Bhagavad Gita. How to structure your life so the womb, the environment that in which the consciousness of the soul is growing, is most nourishing, nurturing. Its mode of goodness is ideal. Situate yourself, life, activity, in the quality of goodness, and put this awakening of spiritual consciousness in the center. Ideal is early in the morning. Student life is not so fond of early in anything early in the morning. But early in the morning is best. I'll even be very specific. In the Vedas, there's this term muhurta. It means it's like 12 and a half minutes. It's a unit of time. And there's so many muhurtas in the course of the day, and there's a section of time called Brahma muhurta that's maximally ideal for any spiritual activity, and it's before the sun rises. That's ideal. Ideal, maximum benefit. And it's nice. You can still do the same amount of work, just get up earlier. Right, rest earlier, get up earlier, and do those same activities nice and early. But if that's not going to match your program, when you get up, before you begin your busy activity, get up in time so that you can make the outside clean, clean body, clean clothes, in a quiet, sanctified place, best if it's the same place that you reserve for that kind of activity. And just as we're doing, sit and make the inside clean. I suggest that you'll find that that spiritual consciousness that is generated or awakened will stay with you. That's been my experience. Even specifically compared to other types of meditation that I was also participating in, just like I've invited you, meditators, add this chanting. The other forms of, from my experience at least, the other forms of meditation, unless there's some place where there's shelter, the discipline is uplifting, but then after you stop that particular discipline, things start to become cluttered again and dissipate and But when it's, the direct action is upon the soul through the same sound vibration, same quality as the sound vibration is, that spiritual consciousness stays with you, and possibly even at intervals of time during the course of the day to take this mantra. Two other things. In the Bhagavad Gita, pointing to that book that's on the desk over there, there's a verse where Krishna says that this process of both the knowledge and the fixing the mind is meant to give pratyaksha, it means direct perception of the self. As real as we can perceive, here's this bottle of water, or we can see each other in the room. Perception, not material, but perception of the self, perception of our spiritual identities, is the fruit. It's a byproduct. It comes naturally by this process. And when you're able to progressively see more on that spiritual plane, the attachments and aversions, I like, I don't like, and groupism, and all of so many other unwanted things, they fade. They become prominent when spiritual consciousness is dormant. They fade when spiritual consciousness is awakened. It's a much happier life. Far more peaceful, far more compatible you know, in groups of people and individually as well. Pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam susukam kartam avyayam. Susukam means, sukha means happy, and susukha means very happy. One becomes inwardly very happy, very peaceful and contented. And last point is, are there different mantras? Yes. I was in China, in Beijing, and I had an opportunity to meet with an 80-year-old professor who's an advisor to the government, and we were discussing about sacred sounds. He was a delightful man. He was very interested in mystical experiences and the difference between intellect and experiencing higher reality. He was very familiar with intellect and finding it not what he really wanted with his life, although he had it. He wanted higher experience. So we were discussing between Chinese culture and the culture of India, the similarities on higher states of consciousness connected to sacred sounds. Okay. Very, won't go into the detail. My point is, it's cross-cultural. A few years ago at Harvard University Divinity School, I was invited as a guest speaker along with two other panelists, a tenured professor in Islam, tenured professor in a Jesuit priest, and a token Hindu, because they couldn't find another one, they got me. And part of what I was speaking about was sound vibration. So I held up my beads, and the person at the far end, Muslim professor, he held up his beads. In fact, he handed them to me, and offered my respects. And the Jesuit priest went, "Oh, I left my home." It's universal. It's not this ism versus that ism. It's a universal. So are there different mantras? Yes. And this particular mantra in the Vedic literature is called Maha Mantra. It specifically says, for this present age of Kali, it's most effective. I invite you to chant other mantras too, if you like other mantras or other forms of meditation, fine. This is particularly effective. Make a personal experiment and see. It's particularly effective. And I'll end with this. 3 minutes to go. It's an invitation, one more time. Over the next couple of weeks, take 10 minutes or so in the morning for the next 2 weeks. Sit like I described, external, clean, peaceful, before you run off and start doing things. Center your consciousness on sacred sound of this Maha Mantra. Do it every day for 2 weeks' time, with beads or without beads. With beads is nice, just put the sound vibration and see what happens. It's very effective. Do it for yourself, not for someone that's challenging you or something like that. It's a wonderful experience, freeing the mind, stresses, and the negative is released, and bringing your consciousness to the Supreme through yoga, through mantra yoga, and you'll feel energized, spiritually energized. It will help you be more effective in everything that you do. And if time permits, take some of these literatures and side by side, see how the mode of goodness can become more the frame in which your life is structured. So that's it. Time's up. If we had more time, I would much rather interaction than just talking, and that's much nicer. But
there's time for interaction with you.
Okay, I'm trying to comply with your structure here, the time. So any thoughts or sharing or comments?
Can you speak again about, you said 12 and a half minutes?
Yeah.
And so you're saying that practice the mantra before sun-up.
Yeah.
For 12 and a half minutes.
No. There's a period, it's about an hour and a half, it's so many muhurtas together. Each is 12 and a half. 12 and a half times whatever it is makes about an hour and a half before the sun rises. That period of time, an hour and a half roughly, it changes with the lunar, but around that time is ideal. Here's something that makes it really easy to understand. As the sun rises, activity begins. The birds and people and trees and flowers and things start to happen. The mode of passion comes into play, and passion throughout the day. And at night, passion winds down, sleep, and quiet. Then the early morning is most the mode of goodness. And there's this little window that's most, superlative, ideal for bringing your consciousness to a spiritual place. Just the atmosphere is best, most conducive. That's why I was recommending, because the Vedas recommend. If that's not going to work for your schedule, some other time, but first thing in the morning is best, before you begin the duties and the you know, all the stuff you have to do. Center, focus, charge, bring your consciousness like that. So you're asking specifically about Muhurta. It's an hour and a half. Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah.
This may be a silly question, but during the winter the sun rises late and during the summer sets pretty early.
Yeah. So you can adjust.
So let me say, like in summer example, like at 4:30 AM the sun rises, which means that 1.5 hours before that is like 3 AM in the morning.
Yeah.
During the winter it is like...
Well, that's not a silly question. It's the sun does move.
That's right.
So if you're capable of rising early, rise early. I know people that, regardless of when the sun rises, they're up at 2 in the morning. You know, students go to bed at 2 in the morning. They get up and then, you know. But by spiritual discipline, there's somebody that I know that lived in New Bombay. You know what that is? Because you're from India. And he was describing to me the difference between when he got up at 4 o'clock and 3 o'clock and 2 o'clock. And it was a world of difference because he had, you know, a wife and a job and a child. And so it was difficult to have a spiritual charge in the morning. And he was struggling when he got up later. And he was flying when he got up earlier. And one of the things that set it off was he got some kind of illness, and then once that he was recovered from that illness, it was hard to get back to this. He just didn't get back to his schedule right away, rising early schedule. But once he did, it's a world of difference. So I'm not advocating do something that's maybe perceived or even felt as fanatical. It's just a principle, rising early is good. It promotes the quality of goodness in one's life. To do that means you don't stay up really late at night. You're not active during the mode of ignorance hours, you're resting during the night hours, and you're active during the mode of goodness hours. you're active spiritually. He says, what are you going to do in the early morning hours? But something like that. So anyway.
Yeah, I learned that again.
Okay. So you can change as the sun moves. Practice to be up during the and spiritually active during those Brahma Muhurta hours, even if it changes as the seasons change. Or just keep some regular schedule, and if as much of that Brahma Muhurta hour as you can, you're there, participating in it. Something else?